Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to Slobberknocker Talk with Austin Neely, a show where I will go over each game, their score, and focus on one or two games and figure and tell you what team I think has the upper hand in their division or what team has a better hand just because of pure talent and skill. To start off, we have the Eagles versus the Lions, with the Eagles winning 38-35. Now, the Eagles are a young team. They have Jalen Hurts, and they just picked up A.J. Brown from the Titans. I'm expecting a lot from that team. They've been underdogs since their Super Bowl win in 2015, so I hope for them to do better. The Bills versus the Rams. The Bills take the win with the 31-10. The only reason I'm saying this isn't a surprise, Josh Allen is a hungry quarterback. For 2 years now, he's been taken out by Mahomes and completely embarrassed in the AFC division in the playoffs. 49ers versus Bears. Bears take it with 19-10. That could have been anyone's game. They're both young quarterbacks, and Justin Fields from Ohio State and Trey Lance. Steelers versus Bengals. Steelers win with the 23-20 lead over the Bengals. I will get touch back on that game because that is one of the games I do want to focus on today. Browns versus Panthers. Browns win 26-24. Now, everyone was expecting Baker Mayfield to come back with revenge against his former team after the whole Deshaun Watson trade. To be honest, though, both teams' defenses played exceptionally well, and offensively, they were about even. Colts versus Texans, that was a tie, 20-20. I was expecting a lot more out of the Texans and Colts. The game could have went either way. Matt Ryan is with the Colts, and Texans have been struggling ever since Deshaun Watson's problems. Saints versus Falcons, Saints win with a 27-26 win. Having Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston is a good dual threat. Taysom Hill is the Swiss Army knife. He can play linebacker, be a running back, wide receiver, tight end. And all in all, just a good quarterback, good team, one of the more balanced teams in the NFC. Ravens versus Jets. Ravens win 24-9. There's no way a young Jets team is going to beat Lamar Jackson, their running back, and their wide receiver core. Jaguars versus Washington. Another game that could have went under anyway with Washington winning. 28-22. Both those teams are a little underrated. Both can have miraculous victories. The Jags had a good run a couple years ago, so that game was down to the wire. Wasn't expecting any set winner. Packers versus Vikings. This one surprised me. The Vikings, exceptional team, offensively and defensively. Their struggle is Kirk Cousins. He's not accurate. He's not consistent enough to be in the top five. His stats are there, but it's over a generation of football. Giants versus Titans. This game baffled me. The Giants won, and they've been a laughingstock since Eli Manning retired. Daniel Jones couldn't get it done. The only redeeming fact about the Giants is Saquon Barkley when he's healthy. Raiders versus Chargers. Chargers win 24-19. When it comes to teams in the AFC, those two teams are back and forth. Raiders or Chargers, always in the top five contention for playoffs. One of them usually gets eliminated the first round, or they both make it, lose first game. They're solid mid-level teams. Easy win game coming up. Chiefs versus Cardinals. Chiefs 44-21. Even on Kyler Murray's good day with D-Hop, no one can really beat Mahomes once he has Travis Kelce. Even though he lost Tyreek Hill, he picked up Juju Smith-Schuster from the Steelers, another deep threat who can run and run good run cross routes. Bucks versus Cowboys. Bucks win 19-3. Dak Prescott has nothing on Brady. Brady, even with the Patriots, turned wide receivers that were no names into good receivers, but he does have a leg up being on the Bucks. He has Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, both 1,000-yard receivers, the only two duo to get 1,000 yards consistently on the same team. Broncos versus Seahawks, another redemption game that could have been won by Russell Wilson on the Broncos, but the Seahawks took it. I don't know the Seahawks' quarterback name. It's been tossed up in the air, but as long as Seahawks have their tight ends and their wide receiver in DK Metcalf, he's going to be set with having a good receiver who is big-bodied, strong hands, can take a hit, and run fast if anyone remembers the chase down against Buda Baker, who is one of, if not the fastest safety in the NFL. He reached him from 10 yards back. That was incredible. The game I do want to focus on today is the Patriots versus Dolphins, with Dolphins winning 20-7. The reason I'm saying this is because there's a lot of Alabama history between those teams. Mac Jones, Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Waddle, and a bunch of other Alabama alumni for those. Before we focus on that, though, we're going to jump back to the Steelers and the Bengals game. Definitely the Steelers defense won that. If it wasn't for Minkah Fitzpatrick kicking off their first touchdown with 31-yard touchdown interception, they wouldn't be there, or even having T.J. Watt as Defensive Player of the Year. The sad part is Minkah Fitzpatrick got traded to the Dolphins, from the Dolphins to the Steelers, so kind of made the Dolphins defense slack a little bit, but now back to the Dolphins and Patriots games. Between the two former Alabama quarterbacks, I believe Tua has the hand over Mac Jones. They're both from Bama. They both played together. Tua had that massive hip injury that forced Mac Jones to take over the year on top of him being drafted. Tua also has Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Mike Gesicki. Now focus on that Mike Gesicki name. He's a tight end that's not really known, but he has good hands and he's fast. Now to go over the stats on why I think Tua is a little bit better than Mac in this game and probably the rest of the season going forward. Tua, not having his normal wide receivers other than him and his history with Jalen Waddle at Alabama, Tua went 23-33. Fairly good completion rate against a stout defense of the Patriots while not having a good offensive line. So he was able to make the big plays, avoid the sacks, and still get 270 yards and throw for one touchdown. And back to what I was saying, Dolphins offensive line didn't really cover him well last year. He was getting sacked, he was getting hit. They had to put in Ryan Fitzpatrick, Fitzpatrick Magic, if anyone remembers him. And from that point on, it was all Fitz and Mike Gesicki. Mike Gesicki was one of the leading receivers for them last year, and I hope he still has a tight end run like that this year. Comparing to Mac Jones' stats with a better offensive line, he's 21-30. Three less throws, two less completions. Still threw for 213 yards, one touchdown, and one interception that got batted by a cornerback I'm going to be talking about later. The Dolphins statistically look better. They have Tyreek Hill, one of the fastest breakaway wide receivers ever to play the game. You saw what he did with Mahomes. You saw what he did under Andy Reid. Mike McDaniel, he looks like a good coach. I don't know why they got rid of Flores, but it's okay. The young coach looks like he's hungry and wants to win and not be the laughingstock of the AFC anymore besides the Browns. Jalen Waddle, second year, played with Tua and Bama when Tua was healthy before his hip injury. He had 4 receptions, 69 yards, 17.2 average, and 1 touchdown. This kid is incredible. He can catch the ball, he can avoid defenders, and he can run. He's got speed, he just has to have the room to do it, and if he can't get it, he'll make it. Same thing with Hill. He had 8 receptions, 94 yards, 11.8 average. Not like Hill, usually he's sitting up at the 20-point average, but that's when he had someone who had a cannon of an arm like Patrick Mahomes, or even Henny. He had a good arm. He played for the Chiefs under Andy Reid, who is a pass-happy coach who likes his wide receivers and tight ends that get the ball, hence why Kelsey and Hill led for receptions and yards last year for their respective positions. Hill did get beat out towards the end by one of the wide receivers I'm going to be mentioning later on. Also, the Dolphins have Xavien Howard. He is the best cornerback that the Dolphins have had in a while. Anytime you hear of an interception or blocks in passes incomplete, even swatting, or sometimes he'll even sneak in for a sack, it is that man right there. He has been loyal to the Dolphins. He had his contract up for due, and he just didn't take it. He wanted to play for the Dolphins. He likes the organization, and he likes the way it is run. The running back core, Chase Edmonds, really well. He played for his former team, ran his heart out. If anyone remembers Raheem Mostert, he was the 49ers when they faced the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. He ran for his first two games, 200 yards plus each game in the playoffs against heavy, heavy NFC teams. Usually in the NFL, it's the NFC that has the exceptional wide receivers, running backs, and he just ran rampant over the Chiefs in that game. He still lost, but he was perhaps the best runner out of both teams. Back to Mike Gesicki. If anyone watched the games last year with Fitzpatrick, he is tall, he is fast, he can run a 4.45 and a 40. he can do those one-handed contested catches, and him being 6'4", around 215, 220, he's not a big tight end, but he's big enough to be able to take a hit and block. If you ever watch Edmonds and Mozart run yesterday's Sunday's game, he was blocking. Every time you saw him, if he wasn't receiving, he was blocking. They do have Smythe, but he's not a blocking tight end. Gesicki's been loyal to them for ever since he's been drafted. He didn't always start. He was on the practice squad, practiced with some big names, and was able to eventually shine and show that he could get the job done when the other two got injured, and now he's a genuine starter. So at this point in the show, I'm going to go over some positions that I like and see who to let you know who I think is going to be top five and explain why. Top five, based on stats this week alone, is I'm going to put Justin Jefferson first. The only reason I'm saying it, he had 9 receptions, 184 yards, and a 20.4 average with 2 touchdowns with a very inaccurate Kirk Cousins. This kid came out of LSU 2 years ago. He beat Randy Moss's record, and he held the NFL rookie records for most touchdowns, most yards. He sat at 1,500 his rookie year. He sat at 1,500 last year. The kid's incredible. You can't really talk about the Vikings without talking about Justin Jefferson. You throw this kid the ball and he's in the slant, he's getting it. He's on a route, he's getting it. He's throwing it on a cross, he's getting it. Contested one-handed catches on the sidelines, he's got it. He's got hands for days. He can catch. He's got the breakaway speed. He ran a 4.35, I believe. Maybe a little slower. But with pads, he's been clocked at a 4.35. Second is Ja'Marr Chase. Funny, it's the two LSU wide receivers who got drafted back-to-back. Jefferson had the rookie record until Ja'Marr Chase last year went to the Super Bowl with the Bengals on a semi-healthy Joe Burrow recovering from his injury the year before. Reason I'm putting Chase second, even though there are other wide receivers just as good, he is not just sharing the spotlight. They have Tyler Boyd. They have David Njoku. No, he went to the Browns. My bad on that. But he's not the only good receiver on that team, and he is still the one making the big plays. And mind you, last year when this kid started, they didn't think he was going to go anywhere. He was dropping passes. He was not running like he did in practice or in the combine. He just wasn't showing up to play right away. Then about game five, he was catching everything. No more excuses. He had 10 receptions, 129 yards, 12.9 average, and 1 touchdown. On a poorly played Bengals game, might I add. Like I said, the Steelers won that game on defense. Burrow was looking sloppy. He wasn't on his playoff contention. He just wasn't on the level he was when he beat Mahomes last year in the playoffs or gave Matthew Stafford the run for his money at the Super Bowl. If things wouldn't have played out in the Super Bowl and there weren't a few bad calls, I feel like Burrow could have run that his second year with a rookie wide receiver definitely getting the MVP honors. But Matthew Stafford had Cooper Kupp, the Triple Crown winner, most yards, most touchdowns. Cooper Kupp, we'll talk about him. I feel like he's going to be another big contender. He's actually in my wild card list, so we'll go over here him in a little bit. Number three is Stephon Diggs. If y'all remember, he used to play for the Minnesota Vikings, but Kirk Cousins has a problem of getting rid of good receivers. He still has Thielen, but if you look back at it, they have some beef. He doesn't really throw the Thielen anymore because he's worried about Thielen's age. And Thielen, well, he's the one who taught Justin Jefferson everything he knows about being a wide receiver right now. Jefferson came in to a Vikings team that's not known for their receiving core and just killed it. Just absolutely killed it. He had 8 receptions, 122 yards, 15.2 average, and 1 touchdown. And this guy last year, he was the leading wide receiver with Josh Allen, which is kind of a given. Josh Allen's got an arm, he's got accuracy, he can make the big plays happen. He's fast, big, agile, he's got it. Number four, this one took me by surprise because I didn't think he was going to get the passes he did being with his former teammate from college. It would have to be Davante Adams getting passes thrown from Derek Carr on the Raiders. He left Aaron Rodgers, and if everyone knows, the NFC duo, wide receiver and quarterback duo, was Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers. Those two were unstoppable when they had their chemistry in line. And he continued that success with the Raiders in the first game. He went 10 receptions, 141 yards, 14.1 average. Not high average, but the Raiders aren't really good. at getting open holes, so he had to fight for that average. He had to fight for his yards, and he's always been like that. But there's no one better in the slot than Devontae Adams. I don't like to say that. Not really a big Raiders fan, other than one player, Darren Waller. He used to be a wide receiver for the Ravens back in the day, but now he's a tight end and putting up some incredible numbers behind the belt of Derek Carr. Number five from Tennessee Titans, who got taken by the Eagles off a trade. A.J. Brown being passed by Jalen Hurts. A.J. Brown with the Titans. He was the wide receiver version of Derrick Henry for the Titans. He's not as big, but muscle tone, athleticism, speed, jumping ability, catching ability. He's a one-man wrecking crew if you can get him the ball. He went for 10 receptions, 155 yards, 15.5 average, and 0 touchdowns. Mind you, the Eagles did win that game, but a lot of it was rushing with Miles Sanders and a bunch of their other running backs like Boston Scott, all that. Still good, though. My first wild card is a surprising one. He used to play for the Browns when Mayfield was there, but he got traded this year as well. Getting thrown the ball by Jameis Winston from the Saints and Taysom Hill because they dual start. Jarvis Landry, another LSU guy. I have three LSU guys on this list. Like I said last year on Outside the Lines with Mike, I love the LSU wide receivers. They're all incredibly talented. Same thing with Diggs. He came from Maryland, but he was looking at LSU if you look at his history. And his brother defensively is just as good as him. But back to Jarvis Landry. He went 7 receptions, lowest out of everyone on the list, 114 yards, 16.3 average, and 0 touchdowns. Landry's on a team with someone who had the wide receiver title in Michael Thomas. If anyone remembers when Breeze helped Thomas break 2 records that were never broken in the NFL, that's touchdowns per year by a wide receiver and most completed passes. Thomas is on a whole nother level, yes, but he has issues like another prima donna that we know. He's also from LSU, Odell Beckham Jr. No one really knows what's going on with him right now. I haven't really seen much info on him. My other wild card is Trevor Lawrence, new wide receiver, Christian Kirk. He had 6 receptions, 117 yards, so you know they were well contested. He had to fight for those. He's got the speed. He's a little shorter, but he's got it down. He had a 19.5 average and 0 touchdowns. Now, this is a team that is completely young. There's not really any of the original players. It's all brand new. And we all know the whole issue with Trevor Lawrence and how he was good and they thought he was going to be better than Burrow and all that stuff. I'm here to say this opinion. I don't think he's ever going to be on Burrow's level. I don't think he's going to be on Josh Allen's level. Everyone's saying he's going to be like Mahomes. I don't see it. He has the playmaking ability. He's just not on the right team. If you could put him on a team, let's say like if Derek Carr ever steps down from his long career or Kirk Cousins, I could see Trevor Lawrence making it on the Vikings. I could see him making it on the Raiders. I just can't continue to see him make it on the Jags at all. They're just not protecting him. He doesn't have enough time to throw. He's just not the same guy you saw play in college. And it's sad to say that because he was exceptional in college. He just can't bring it to the NFL like Burrow did or Tua is now. Tua compared to Mac, both Alabama prospects, Tua's better. Mac did good last year. Tua was just battling an injury that he should have never came back from early. My other wild card would have to be Cooper Kupp, like I said, Triple Crown winner last year. Most yards, most touchdowns, most receptions. This man, on a 10-point game, still managed 13 receptions, 128 yards, and a 9.8 average. Now, he ain't no fast runner. He ain't going to run the deep threat. He's none of that. He is your quick slant guy who will bullnose you and lay you out if he needs to. He did have one touchdown. I'm assuming that's the only touchdown the Rams had with them only having 10 points. On a side note, though, Matthew Stafford left a diminishing Lions team, and it's sad to say that because there was another young player who left that team way back in the day, Calvin Johnson, Megatron. I feel like if Stafford had the coaching he does in the Rams he has with the Rams instead of what he did with the Lions when he had Megatron, definitely could have definitely made the Super Bowl. Another thing to touch base with the Dolphins, though, they have a new coach. Offensive coordinator, I believe, is the same. And just overall aspect, they have went from one of the laughingstocks to the... Now, there is Mahomes and the Chiefs, but we all know what Andy Reid can do. We saw what he did with the Eagles against the Patriots. We saw what he did with Nick Foles with the Eagles. He made incredible plays, calls, incredible... He's just an incredible coach. So I will never have the Chiefs lower than the top five for the AFC. But my top five AFC prediction, I'm going to have to go... I'm going to put Dolphins number two, Chiefs or Bills number one. If not, the other one's going to be number three. And then I'm going to have the Raiders and the Chargers. I don't think the Steelers are going to make it. I believe they're going to have a winning season, but I don't think they're going to hit playoffs. For the NFC, I'm definitely putting Bucks back in there. Tom Brady got embarrassed last year in the playoffs. He's going to go for it. I definitely think the Saints are going to pull through, especially Jameis Winston. He's not on the same level he is with, like he was with the Commanders. I think the Rams are going to go again. They just had a sloppy game. They got to get it together, have that magic they had before. Green Bay, always contender. That's number four. And number five, I think the Vikings are going to go. I think they're going to squeak their way in. Do I know how? Will it be with Cousins? Will it be with a backup? Will they make a surprise trade? Who knows? Who knows if Justin Jefferson might become the Swiss Army knife? He might be able to, you know, play slot more, or he might stay deep threat. But anyways, guys, it was fun talking to you. We're going to take a brief intermission, and then Take Point 22 is going to come back on. I hope you all enjoyed, and be ready for some weird predictions next week. Have a wonderful night.
All right, folks, that was Austin and Slobberknocker. That's a look at pro football. Coming up next here in just about 5-10 minutes is Take Point 22. So don't forget to join us here in just about 5-10 minutes. Anyway, we're going to leave you with a great song coming out as we did coming in. Let's go to Fortunate Son here and... Well, I'll tell you what, we'll see you in just a bit for Take Point 22 on the Trim Radio Network.